Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Well, 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 Mr. David.
Good morning.
A very interesting day yesterday.
It was quite a day in Chicago, yeah.
A lot going on. We learned about Mr. Pace and got that great statement from him.
Did we learn about Mr.
That
Pace?
Cleared up.
What did we learn?
We learned that Roquan referred to him as Mr. Pace, which...
I don't
know why that amused me.
I am Roquan. I play football. I listened to my agent. I reported 29 days late.
Wow.
7 times in 7 minutes he referenced his agent and Mr. Pace.
Yeah.
I was there.
Mr. Tanaka.
I thought he didn't put his best foot forward. You know, to be honest with you, not as optics at this point. When he gets on the field, all this is going to be moot.
Did you think Ryan Pace did?
No. I don't think the Bears did either.
Yep.
I thought it was another it was a good day because he was on the field. That was the bottom line. He was in uniform. He wore a helmet. He was in a huddle. He played with the second team defense. That's the biggest positive. But the way that all this was communicated was a little disappointing, only because we learned nothing.
We're looking forward to Roquan joining our team and getting him prepared for the 2018 season. That was a statement released by Ryan Pace. Well, that cleared up everything. And David, it won't matter. Once the kid plays, it won't matter. Provided he stays healthy, it won't matter. But it's just a weird way of doing business.
Well, it's a little strange, and I think that fans may say, you know, why would you even care? What's the point? And I think the point would be, you know, this was such a protracted process, and there was a lot of attention paid it. The Bears had an opportunity here to get in front of this and to project how happy they were to have him here, and we heard none of it. They made the kid the story. They made the player the story, and the player was not equipped to handle the attention. He needs to play football.
That's all.
He needs to play football, and he needs to make that the story.
But as a release statement from a guy that was standing at the practice is a very strange way.
Ryan Pace was at the practice. He was interacting with other reporters. He was there, very happy to see his first round draft pick finally in the fold. I thought that they...
He's also looking forward to Roquan joining our team and getting him prepared for the 2018 season, apparently.
Matt Nagy did talk. He talked a lot.
Matt Nagy seems available.
And I thought he was pretty accessible. I thought that he did what every coach is going to do in that situation. And he spoke the parting line, said that you have to earn your spot, even though everybody understands what's going on here. He said he's been here an hour and a half. He can't tell what kind of shape he's in. And he said that essentially, you know, they're going to wait and see.
Clears up everything. And again, they don't need to clear it up if the kid can play, if he goes out and plays. But it's just weird that you have a 29-day holdout and you release the sentence.
Well, I think that I heard from some fans and just a couple that felt like it was a little incomplete and they felt a little disappointed. I feel like Ryan Pace owed fans maybe an explanation for the Bears' role in this.
I feel like Ryan Pace, just based on the optics of what he did, lost the negotiation.
Well, because he didn't say anything after it?
Because he fled.
Well, neither did CAA.
There was an old joke about, what do you call a buxom Swedish woman in sunglasses living in Denmark? Salman Rushdie. That's when Salman Rushdie was going through his issues after writing the Satanic Verses. You could adapt that joke to Ryan Pace hiding in his office. I know he was out there, but I don't understand why the obfuscation? Why not just talk? And why not, you know, answer a couple questions about the kids?
Well, that's a good question, and it wasn't never given an answer, except for they were on their way to Denver. He had plenty of time to address it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
he had plenty of time to address
it.
They
went through, they went through crafting a statement and releasing it.
And when you look at
absurd.
What was agreed upon and the compromises that were made, you see that there is evidence that both sides probably gave a little bit. But
I think the Bears lost. I think what happened here is the agents sensed the weakness that is the Bears, and the Bears caved in at one point that you reported, and then if there's a compromise, then they had to cave in a second time. So I'm gonna go with the Bears lost until someone wants to talk about it and tell me differently.
Well, I think cave is a little strong, but I think that you're okay to believe what you believe because there's been no rebuttal.
Yeah, if they felt
that. And I know that you may be doing that partly for effect, but also because
I am doing it for effect.
But I think that it's also it's a fair position to take because you don't have anything to counter it.
Exactly.
They've not gotten in front of this.
Well, this is what they
and negotiations
abhors a vacuum. And in the absence of a story, you kind of create a story.
There is a public aspect to every contract impasse, every negotiation, and this is the continuation of that.
Let me ask you one question here, and I'd like to ask Ryan Pace this question, but I'm sure he would not answer it in a forthright fashion. But do you believe for a moment that his bosses were not involved in this, that Ryan Pace had his first-round draft pick hold out for 29 days and wasn't consulting with Ted and George and whoever
else? I don't
believe
that.
Of course he was.
I believe – I saw George McCaskey yesterday. He was rolling up to practice in a scooter.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
Wow.
On a scooter. And
okay, well, maybe he wasn't involved, but definitely Ted.
I think that there was all an awareness. And every time that I touch base with George throughout the process, he basically repeated the same thing, that he trusts his people.
Yes.
You have to have patience. These things work themselves out.
Yeah.
He was right, but I think that he was also informed along the way.
Is it possible Tom Condon and Ted Phillips got on the phone and straightened the whole thing out? Okay, we'll give that. Is it possible that happened? I just don't. I have a hard time when you can't get a front man and a guy is afraid, apparently, to talk about something and releases a one-sentence statement.
It bothers you that
that he's the guy in charge.
It bothers you that in the Chicago market that holdout,
yes,
this contentious and protracted,
yes,
couldn't produce at least the guy who was,
yes,
involved in it from day one.
And I think Ted is
fair.
I think Ted Phillips is the de facto general manager, and Ryan Pace is just a guy that they use to look for talent.
I don't agree with that for one minute, but
I
think
until you get told
that otherwise, I guess that's an assumption they're going to allow you to make.
I don't think they want to change that idea. I don't know. Are we having Ryan Pace? Is he coming on the program? Will he talk to us?
Eventually, maybe. Well, at least Roquan Smith did his best to distract attention from the Cubs.
Oh, my God. The Cubs were awful. The Cubs were awful. Jose Quintana was awful. We're going to get into all of it in the 5-5. The White Sox did get a win, so congratulations to them.
That's a cool story too.
The University of Maryland, that was very interesting to see the president come out and accept legal and moral responsibility.
That's stunning. I was stunned by that.
Yes.
Think about what that means.
I mean, that's the first good news they've had, frankly. A 19-year-old offensive lineman, Jordan McNair, died from heat stroke. And guess what? Finally, someone has said what everyone knows.
Legal and moral responsibility.
No doubt about it.
That means everybody goes, too.
Well, you would hope that everybody goes.
If you're taking responsibility in every way.
I agree.
Everybody goes.
And we'll get into all of it. The 5-5 is next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Are you satisfied with Roquan Smith's comments about his contract impasse? How about with Ryan Pace's statement release?
Oh, no. No, no. I don't think you can be satisfied with either of these two events. I think that this kid held out 29 days at the start of his career and they're pretending like nothing happened, that no one wants to accept any culpability as to why that happened. Why was this kid the latest pick in? Why did this whole thing happen? And frankly, it's all silliness. When you read what it came down to, the money and the years were already set, and this you took a month to figure this thing out, and you really didn't figure it out. It's just it is an embarrassment. We don't hold the Bears accountable in any fashion for anything that they do. Ryan Pace looks like a rank amateur with that statement and the way that he's handled things. And the kid's agents, I don't know what to make of their situation or what the kid had to say, but he wasn't the humble, you know, kid that was wide-eyed and happy to be there. He was the kid that had this is business and I'm doing it. And I mean, there was a certain defiance to what he had to say. I don't blame anybody. It's not like they, but it's just, it's par for the course. It is people that don't know how to handle their business we're all trying to pretend like this is a normal situation. Now we're all going to say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if you trade up for a guy that would have been there anyway. All that matters is whether or not he can play. So let's just wait and see if he can play. Listen, apparently none of them can play, okay? They have not put together a winning team in a very long time. Nobody in town seems to know what a winning team looks like. Nobody in town seems to hold anybody accountable for the fact that they're not putting together a winning team. They fire a coach that everybody's delighted. Thank God that guy's gone. They bring back a general manager, and everybody's like, well, yeah, he deserves to hire his own coach. He had the same record as the other guy. Yeah. So I mean, the Bears have got to – they got to prove something to me. Otherwise, they're the same dysfunctional organization that they have been finishing dead last in the division for whatever, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, missing the playoffs every year. We don't even know what good looks
fair
like.
Enough.
I mean, that's where I'm at.
Fair enough.
It.
You know
I'm
what?
Just, that's where I'm at.
You know what? And I agree with a lot of what you said. At the same time, if they are decent this year and the moves that have been made since they fired John Fox, that a lot of what you said and the criticism for Ryan Pace will take care of itself. That said, I think yesterday
yeah,
was...
Yeah, if the quarterback can play, everybody will be happy.
Well, that's...
It's all... I mean, but I'm just saying, there's but no Molly, accountability. We
but
don't,
I think you're taking a big
Every team
leap.
In town, we hold accountable, we except hold, the Bears.
But we hold the Bears pretty
no, the
accountable.
The Bears just come out and lose, Ryan and everybody
Pace,
says,
Ryan
okay.
Pace has faced a share of criticism. I'm not going to sit here and say that I haven't criticized Ryan Pace for the last 6 months or the last 4 years. I mean, that would be inaccurate. So...
I didn't accuse you of that.
No, but
I'm saying,
you're saying nobody
speaking,
holds Pace accountable.
I'm saying that the Bears just they go through what they go through. Look at the way we scrutinize the Cubs, and we're going to do that in a minute here. The Bears, we just you know they had a 29 day holdout with their first round draft pick, and it's
he
just,
should have talked. There's no doubt about it.
And there's just a shrug.
But let's look at. Are you satisfied with the comments? Roquan Smith yesterday was he's all grown up now. All right, this is the guy who is no longer the humble. Story from Athens, Georgia, and small town Georgia, and boy, look at Roquan Smith, and he's a businessman, and that came through 7 times in 7 minutes in his remarks. He said he has to refer to his agent and Mr. Pace. He went from being gung ho about playing for the Bears to being very guarded. This is a professional athlete, and he spoke like one. I referred to him in the Tribune this morning as robotic Roquan. This is a guy that was reading a script. He was playing a part. He was being a pawn. If chess pieces could talk, that's what one would sound like. Ryan Pace did not represent himself well, in my opinion. I agree with you. That said, it's a bottom-line industry. We know this.
I think the kid's going to be a great player.
If Roquan Smith is a great player, that none of yesterday even matters. If the Bears are respectable and he's a big part of that, a lot of the criticism that Ryan Pace has earned will take care of itself and will dissipate. But I think that yesterday was disappointing overall, and yet, big picture, it was a great day for the Bears because they got their first-round draft pick finally on the field.
Yeah, you can't be satisfied in that. The whole story, what we were going through with the last month, and I do say going through because it was just annoying to me, and we had to talk about it every single day. It was a big waste of time and energy, everyone involved. Now, in the end, as far as being on the field during games, if that matters to you at all in the preseason, he missed a few plays in the second game because he probably wouldn't have been out there for the Hall of Fame game. But being in camp was more important, getting this defense down. He is the quarterback of the defense moving forward, and that is supposed to be, walking into the season, the strength of this team. I wasn't expecting to hear anything from Roquan Smith. I really wasn't. And he did what they told him to do. Put it on us. Just put it all on us. Focus on football. Talk about being happy that you're there. And that's exactly what he did in his 5 to 10 second sound bites again and again and again. The Pace statement, I couldn't delete that email quick enough. I didn't even mention it in my updates yesterday morning because talking about waste of time, that's what that was from Ryan Pace. And Molly, I'm with you on the Bears. I don't think they're covered the same. People are so optimistic about what can be about the Bears. And we talk about the great tradition, great tradition, great tradition. They shove that down your throat. One championship in 55 years now? One. Okay? So I'm with you there. But it's obvious the city is just so starved for some success with that football team. But, yeah, you can't be satisfied. But honestly, I'm just so happy it's over. It's hard for me to care. I just want to see the kid on the football field.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, Joe. I'm glad this ordeal is over so we can actually see Roquan Smith because, like you guys said, he's probably going to be a pretty damn good player. And we all know the Bears are a Mickey Mouse organization, and yes, maybe they get the benefit of the doubt where they shouldn't sometimes, especially as it pertains to Ryan Pace. You know, a lot of people, including, I guess, the McCaskies, giving him the benefit of the doubt despite the last three seasons and his ineptitude and free agency. And you can just, let the list pile up a little bit. But this story to me now, I don't care what Roquan Smith yesterday said. I don't care about Pace's statement. I just want to see him on the field. I want the team to be better. I'm completely over this. I'm just glad it's done.
From the Roquan Smith perspective, as long as he checks off Rakan's boxes, then he's fine. As long as he picks up 65 to 80 tackles this season and is productive.
So they're going to set him out for 2 years then.
Right. He's going back down to college. Yeah. He's going to play for Georgia again. But Ryan Pace, I'm with you, Joe, and Moley. 14-34 in three seasons. Everyone threw that on John Fox, and I know it's a lot of that was in the off season, and now it's into the season. But it's
nobody
still
threw that just on John Fox. You guys are missing the point. Ryan Pace has been criticized. He got a reprieve from the front office, from the ownership. He did not get a reprieve in the court of public opinion. Not at all. This is a guy who's fighting
still
uphill.
He's still making decisions. It doesn't matter what the court of public opinion is. He's still the GM.
That's accountability. That's the only way that
no accountability.
When you talk about accountability, yeah, we can't control whether or not he's hired or fired or what he keeps his job. All you can do is be critical. And people have been critical of Ryan Pace. He's got a lot to prove.
I hear a lot of people praise his drafts and talk about the depth on this team and say that Pace has just done such a great job. And look what he walked into when Phil Emery left and how he has turned around, even though they've been in last place. I hear a lot of that. You don't hear that?
No. I hear a lot of guy who drafts well and has a lot of misses in free agency and has not yet hired the right coach. And he's green.
Theo Epstein sounded optimistic about Chris Bryant. Joe Maddon said he doubted he'd ever be 100%. Who do you believe?
Probably a little bit of both. I think that, he's not going to be 100%. I think Joe Maddon keeps saying that, and I don't know if he kept saying that on purpose, but players have to play when they're not 100%. If that's the message they're trying to deliver, I think eventually we're going to get that from Chris Bryant. He's not going to be, the guy that you're expected to see in September. Maybe they're bracing themselves. And when Theo Epstein is optimistic, I think he's probably trying to put the best face possible on this. It's troubling when you see Chris Bryant still being far away from, facing live pitching. You don't know how, serious this is going to be and how much it's going to linger. I think they're probably both trying to buy some time. But when you see him yesterday, I think we're mid-August right now. I would be surprised if he makes a major league at bat before September.
I was more surprised to hear what Joe said than what Theo said, just based on the usual kind of optimism that is expressed by everyone. And I think that Joe gave you a little cause for pause. And it was surprising to me that he would do that. I don't doubt what he said is accurate, but I was surprised by it because he's usually more pie in the sky, and he was much more realistic on this one, and that gives me a little bit of a chill.
Same reaction. When Joe is pessimistic about something, alarm bells go off because that's rare. Now, if you have a 100% Chris Bryant, we all know he's a top five player in baseball. If he can work his way back and if he gives you 75 to 80%, sorry, but he's still a lot better than David Bote, who couldn't crack the lineup yesterday.
What?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Come on.
I know. A lot of the focus, and it should be, has been on the rotation, and we don't know who fits where or what's going to be at the end of the season. And a lot of it is probably going to be decided how they play in the rest of the regular season. But if Chris Bryant's not in this lineup, look at what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot more shutouts, and we had the big celebration on Sunday night, but before that, they also didn't score a run before the last at-bat of the game. If KB's not in there and you remove the depth of this lineup, there's more than a few reasons to be concerned.
Yeah, I mean, normally if I have the choice to believe Theo Epstein or believe Joe Maddon, I would go with Theo 99% of the time, but in this instance, I think Joe, being the manager of the team and being more around the players over the past few years, maybe has a better idea of Bryant and his health and the way, you know, he gets into his routine and all of those things that kind of entails. So, yeah, until I see Bryant's name in the lineup, I'm not going to believe he will be back this season. I know it's all been shrouded in mystery and they're trying to keep it low, which I understand. You don't want to go out and say, yeah, he might not hit again, because that's probably going to freak a lot of people out if he doesn't play the rest of the year. You can't just come out and say that. But I don't think he's going to play again this year. I think he's probably going to need surgery. And Theo is being optimistic. What else can he do? This does not look good, though, for the Cubs or for Chris Bryant.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kevin. Forget about Bryant taking off some days of batting practice. He's got to change his swing, and especially with that shoulder injury, that's going to be difficult. So I think Joe Maddon is bracing Cubs fans for the fact that Bryant is not going to be back for maybe until the playoffs, a couple of games before that. And we talked about it all season long, and so is Joe Maddon, the launch angle perspective, and that's what Chris Bryant grew up with. Now he has to change that swing, and the shoulder injury does not help any of that.
Has daily pennant race pressure and scrutiny changed Jose Quintana?
Something's going wrong with Jose Quintana. I think we can all accept that fact. He was a different pitcher when he was on the South Side. He was a much more successful pitcher. Did Coop do something magical? Was there anything going on? Normally when a pitcher goes from the American League to the National League, you can expect a nice a bump. And it's been as much as a run aided to the pitcher, a run peeled off of your ERA, and this has gone the other way. So I'm not sure exactly why this has happened. I had a theory that every time he pitched for the White Sox, he knew he was going seven innings. He knew that they were going to leave him out there. He knew that he had time to get through every start, and the fact that he leaves after five or six all the time, and that's National League, baby. That maybe played into it. But what I saw yesterday was a guy whose confidence is really damaged. I think that, he hung up a couple pitches. He gave up some dingers. He just didn't look like the guy that had the confidence to go out there and take care of business. And that really worries me. So I don't know how it happened, and I don't know how he was ruined. I'm using air quotes. But something's going awry with him, and there's no denying that fact.
Yeah, it's dangerous to read body language, but it's certainly he's screaming like he's a different pitcher. Everything that he does sort of does lack that confidence and that doesn't have that sort of swagger on the mound, and certainly the results speak for themselves. I don't know what it would be except for, you touched on Don Cooper. He had the same pitching coach for the White Sox for a long time. He's had two with the Cubs in a short period of time. I don't know if that factors in. Getting a guy who was known for his consistency, and all he has been with the Cubs is consistently mediocre, and that's not good enough, especially given what you gave up to get him. So I don't know if it's from the shoulders up. I don't know if it's physical, more mental than physical, but it's something that is got to correct itself quickly.
Can we talk about that, what they gave up to get him? I mean, I think that's one of the most overblown storylines in Chicago, to be honest with you. I think that everyone's getting worried about how good Aloy is going to be, and Dylan Cease seems to have turned a corner.
You know, I don't know.
You have to give up something to get something.
Absolutely. But what do you always say? Go ahead.
I just want to finish the thought. What they gave up was for a guy who is under control. And so they got a piece of their rotation that they can count on. He's making 8.5 this year. Mm-hmm. I believe it jumps to 10 the next 2 years, or 10.5 the next 2 years.
It's a very good contract.
It's a really good contract.
And it allowed them to get Darvish.
And it allowed them to go out and get Darvish and to get Tyler Chatwood and to spend money. Hey, I'm just saying, they haven't done a good job with
that. You always say the salary sets
expectations
for a player.
Set by investment in the player.
And the investment in the player was a trade for a guy. You gave away a future superstar. Right. So the expectations around Quintana are going to be commensurate with that.
Yeah, you just rattled off three consecutive big mistakes. All of them. Everyone. Darvish, Chatwood, Quintana trade. So I think that's what the issue is, all of it combined. I mean, if the Cubs could go back and make that trade again, even though they'd be searching for another starter, they would do it in an absolute heartbeat. Trying to get between the ears of this guy, that's tough. I mean, I don't know if I could really say, well, he can't handle the pressure. This is why he's failing. He was not bad last year at all. He wasn't. What did we say the first start? Ah, see? This is why you give up those top two prospects. When he was fantastic, and he threw, I believe, 7 scoreless in his first start with the Cubs. But a lot of it does not make sense. Molly, you mentioned the switch from the AL to the NL. The only thing I can come up with is just another probably 200-inning season, maybe a 6th straight year with 32 starts in a year. But I keep going back to command. That's the big difference, what we see this year versus the rest of his career. The walks are very, very high, and I question how he's working with Contreras. And, yeah, now 3 pitching coaches in 2 years.
Well, you know, it started last season when Quintana was still on the White Sox. What, he had a 4.49 ERA in the first half, and the trade kind of went down right at the All-Star break. And, of course, he was better in the second half last year with the Cubs, but, you know, he's not who he was, you know, 2-3 years ago when he had that really good stretch from 13 to 16, and he was one of the better pitchers in the American League. And people now are coming back with this, oh, you know, he was always a 500 pitcher, and this is just always what he was. I'm so sick of people thinking that pitcher wins mean anything. And I know Dustin's not here today, but he's probably listening at home and crumpling up a piece of paper and writhing in agony because Quintana got lit up yesterday. But who's the best pitcher in baseball this year? Jacob DeGrom. He's got 7 wins. Pitcher wins mean absolutely nothing. So don't tell me Jose Quintana has always been this because he's a 500 pitcher. That means nothing. Now, something's clearly not the same, and maybe it is wear and tear. Maybe it is all of those 200 inning seasons on his arm, but something is definitely not right. And you guys bring up the bigger picture with Theo making mistakes building this rotation. Epstein is great at finding kind of these diamond in the roughs and kind of fleecing people with younger players, but he seemingly struggles bringing in established players and kind of maintaining. He's great at building, not so great at maintaining, in my opinion, and this is another piece of evidence that goes toward that.
You look at Quintana's numbers this year, the strikeout rate is down nearly 6%. The walk rate is up almost 3%. And the FIP is up a full point, fielding independent pitching. So walks, strikeouts, home runs, hit by pitches. When do we start criticizing Jim Hickey for this? I understand that it's his first season in Chicago, but you think about Hendricks, you think about Chatwood. We can criticize Theo Epstein all we want, but how about Jim Hickey, too, who hasn't made
Eli,
an impact?
Jim Hickey will be on at 8:20.
That's true.
Come on, Eli. Here's the thing. Now that's fair because you look at Bosio and you say, wow, the starting pitching has taken a step back. But you have to look at it as a whole. One of the problems with Bosio was what? The bullpen. The bullpen's been fantastic this year. Some of those guys have had turnaround seasons.
I'm very defensive of Quintana for some reason. I have a hard time.
I know.
I have a hard time looking at this with logic because I feel like an emotional connection.
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, I wish he had a 150 ERA and was leading the league in every stat there was.
Unbelievable.
I mean, when he's getting lit up by the Brewers,
it's hard to believe.
I think you got to hold him accountable.
He was due to get lit up by the Brewers.
You knew it was going to happen
though,
at some point. Right. But you weren't expecting it yesterday.
No.
Did Ben Zobrist deserve to be thrown out on Tuesday? And where do you stand on an automated strike zone?
I think he did. I think he deserved it. He didn't use profanity. He didn't have a big rant necessarily, but he was showing up an umpire and he was arguing balls and strikes. That's supposed to be an automatic ejection, correct? If I missed, was there a rule change? I know that everybody got a good kick out of his zinger in the clubhouse, and magically he said the words that got him ejected would ask him about an electronic umpire, electronic strike zone. It was funny, but yeah, he was showing up an umpire. He was arguing balls and strikes. He deserved it, and I think he probably expected that. Joe had already been bounced. Where do I stand in automated strike zone? I don't understand why there's so much technology in baseball that's been embraced and utilized and accepted, and there's so much resistance to this idea. It makes the game more efficient. There's everybody watching now can see where each pitch lands and how many inches off the plate it is or isn't. So absolutely, you can still have a home plate monitor to call, you know, plays at the plate, whatever, to preside over, but you definitely need the technology used to its fullest, and that would be progress.
You know, in the World Cup, they had a thing called VAR, which was video assistant referee. And I got used to it through the course of the tournament, and it got calls right. Now, was there an interruption in the flow of the game? Was there, you know, some? They got calls right. And they finally started taking a look at some things that are just flat out illegal that have been going on in the game forever. And it was really fun to watch. And I watched the Premier League this week, and Kevin, I'm sure we'll talk about this on the Screamers and Howlers. They don't have VAR. So there was an offside goal, clear as day, and you're like, oh, well, they have to reverse that one. No, they don't have that technology. How can they not have that technology? Well, they just don't use it in the Premier League. And having gotten used to it and now being without it, it seems insane that they don't have it. And I think that there is enough technology and enough ability to do this automated strike zone without having to worry about slowing down the game or interrupting things. You know, for one thing, you take out the arguments over whether it was a ball or a strike. You wouldn't have the whole thing where he goes off. And you know, listen.
And all these dramatic looks and glances after the
ball. It was a ball, okay? They show, if you looked at the strike zone, it was just outside it. But it was a hair outside it. It wasn't like the Rizzo play where it was like 3 feet outside and you thought the guy had a legitimate beef. And I agree with Joe. When you see a guy get that upset about it who normally doesn't get upset, Joe did the right thing by coming out and getting tossed. That's what he's supposed to do, defend his guy and take the bullet for him. But the idea that you'd then come back and you're coming out of the game, you're in the on-deck circle in the ninth inning, and your team is down 7 runs. It didn't matter. It wasn't, the game wasn't affected one way or another by one bad call. And to then get your 2 cents in, that was too much from Zobrist. So yeah, he deserved to get thrown out. He didn't, you know, he got away with it. He got away with arguing balls and strikes, and Joe got thrown out. He didn't. But then to come back at the guy, and apparently he talked to him throughout the entire break on television. That's what they said on the broadcast, that the entire inning he's standing out there. He wouldn't leave. I think he got thrown out because he wouldn't leave, not because of the automated strike zone comment.
I get it, though.
But I,
if I'm the umpire and he won't leave, I'm going to make him leave.
And, you know, umpires are human, too. And he was asked if he thought that there would be any carryover from this. And I don't believe people are out to get anyone, but I think people are tired of the Cubs yelling at him about balls and strikes. You know, it's a bad call. Go sit down. That's it. Joe doesn't need to get thrown out of the game. I get it. He has to, and he came out, and he did his theatrics and got thrown out. But to go back 3 innings later was weird to me, just weird.
On the VAR point, I thought they were pretty efficient with something that
it was great.
We didn't see before. In the end, it's about getting it right. Yes, Zobrist should have been tossed, arguing balls and strikes. It's time to go. He knew that he was going to get thrown out. I'm surprised that he wasn't thrown out earlier. I mean, it's enough with the two-inning argument going out in the sixth and a couple later in the eighth inning. If there were to be an automated strike zone, I'm not one of these people that would have a celebration. I don't think it fixes the game in any way, but it wouldn't hurt. I mean, some people say, well, what about this kind of ball with this movement? I don't know. The technology isn't there. Would it be worse than what's going on right now? And that was clearly a bad call yesterday. An automated strike zone would have gotten that one correct. So I back it. I think it would be a step in the right direction, but it wouldn't fix the game or anything. And it's always confused me why some people are worried about some umpires' jobs. Well, what about the jobs that are going away? So you want bad calls in games so a few jobs are saved in baseball?
Just as long as C.B. Buckner can cash a check every 2 weeks.
Oh, so we get the Joe West CD every year. Why not?
Yeah, I don't have any time for umpires. Get the call right. That's all that matters. Whether it takes an automated strike zone or whatever they want to do, it's most important to get the call right. And Ben Zobrist did deserve to get thrown out of the game yesterday. It was out of character for Zobrist. He's usually, you know, one of the more mild-mannered guys on this team, so I don't want to take a shot at him in particular. But I think, and maybe it's just this year, and maybe I'm perceiving this incorrectly, but it does seem like the Cubs moan and complain about every little thing that happens to them, like they're entitled to get every call and everything going their way. And I'm so tired of it. Such a talented team, and they just constantly bitch and complain about every little thing. And it starts with the manager, and it's just honestly so annoying, and I'm completely over it.
I'm not going to go that far. I'm with all you on the previous points. Of course, Zobrist deserved to be tossed, and you want to get the call right. Just wait until a game seven when it comes down to a final strike call that was just outside the plate, and a team loses because of that. But you know, I've been surprised. I've been in some clubhouses and I've talked to some players, and they've been on the opposite front. While they say yes, it might correct some things, they want to keep baseball traditional, and that's coming from younger and veteran players. So while I think it should happen, I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Is today a must-win or statement game for the Cubs, and can the Brewers get back in the division race?
It's not a must-win. That makes the statement game. It's one or the other.
It's got
to
be one or the other.
According to our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes, it's got to be either statement game or must-win. It is sort of a statement game. You'd like to maintain a lead in the division. You'd like to not lose two in a row at home, and you'd like to score runs, something that the Cubs have been struggling to do other than one pitch, as Joe pointed out, one swing of the bat by a guy that wasn't in the lineup yesterday. So I would say that the Brewers can't get back in the division race. Even if they win today, even if they went on a 10-game run and the Cubs lost seven in a row, there's no way the Brewers can get back. Even if they're leading by five games, they can't. The Cubs are going to win the division. The Cubs are the best team in the division. They're going to win the division. And they're you know, as we get closer to the playoffs, they're going to get their whole team together. And I know a lot of people don't like counting the chickens before they're hatched, but I'm going to go ahead and say that the Cubs are going to win the division even if they lose today.
Cardinals won again.
I don't think that's like Cardinals going out on a limb.
That's okay.
Cardinals have won seven in a row.
I know.
And, you know, I thought it was...
Pittsburgh won 11 in a row at one point,
right?
It's
interesting to hear Ryan Braun call yesterday pretty close to a must win, and then he goes out and hits two home runs. There's urgency in everything the Brewers do. They made all the trades for all those, middle linebackers to play the infield during the trade deadline. The Cubs are not in that position yet. I just don't feel like if they lose today, there's going to be panic. There'll be an overreaction to it. There will be concern. We'll point out the fact that who they don't have and when will they come back. But I still believe top to bottom, they're the best team in that division. It's not about necessarily the Brewers or the Cardinals. It's the rest of the National League, which is disintegrating too, by the way. Do you see what's going on with the Dodgers and goodness sakes. But I don't think today is either. It's not a must win. It's not a statement game.
The Dodgers made a pretty big move too that you would think if that doesn't pay off, giving up, what did they give up? Five prospects for Machado?
Well, the Dodgers made all those moves with the right intentions, and then they lost their closer to something that they could not have foreseen. That's, you know, their bullpen's falling apart. Yeah. That's a big problem. The Cubs, you know, the Brewers could get back in the race. The Brewers are in the division race, but I just don't think that they're going to be able to catch the Cubs.
Yes, I agree, David. If this question was about the Brewers must-win or statement game, well, yes, all of the above. But for the Cubs, okay, worst-case scenario, you lose again today. Hendricks has a poor outing, so now you get swept into two-game series. You still have three-game advantage in the loss column. It's not time to panic yet with 44 games left. But with 44 games left, yes, Milwaukee can get in this race. They can be there with so much time left. This is usually the time of the season where the Cubs turn it on, and we're still waiting and waiting and waiting. So when is it going to happen? They need to get healthy, for one, and it doesn't sound like any of those three guys are that close to making a return. So I'm not saying it's a 100% lock. The Brewers are out of this no matter what happens today, but it's also not a must-win or a statement game for the Cubs today.
Oh, it's a statement game for sure. And more so, I think, for Kyle Hendricks than anybody else, because this rotation is completely in shambles. John Lester's been abhorrent lately. Quintana lit up again yesterday. The closer's on the DL. You don't know when he's coming back. Chris Bryant, you don't know when he's coming back. There's so many question marks, and they've been able to paper over a lot of the cracks because of, you know, Baez having a fantastic season and the rest of the bullpen being very good. But after a while, you're not going to be able to paper over the cracks over the course of a season, and things will eventually catch up with you. And the Brewers, you know, I've said it all year long, they're not going to go away. They're going to be in this thing the rest of the way, even with the deficiencies that they have themselves in their rotation. But this is a big start today for Kyle Hendricks. They're going to need him if they want to do anything in the playoffs or hell, even make the playoffs, because you guys mentioned, you know, St. Louis coming hot and fast right now. Milwaukee is going to be able to hang in there as well. Huge, huge start today for Hendricks.
Yeah, Cardinals a game back in the wild card, something like that. Four games back of the Cubs of first place. You stole my point there, Kevin, though. I do think this is a statement game for Kyle Hendricks. Not a must-win for the Cubs, not a statement game for the Cubs, but you think about Hendricks' last three starts, two of them quality starts, and he hasn't torn off a stretch this season where he's been able to pull off three out of four quality starts. You want to see the ground balls racking up more than the fly balls, which is his traditional stat line. You look at his last start against Washington, 12 ground balls to 8 fly balls. You want to see more of that ratio this season against the Brewers, 7 innings pitched and a shutout in his in one of his matchups and 4 runs in 5 innings in the other. So 50-50 on his stats against the Brewers, and this is a big one for Hendricks. You want to see him make progress off two of his last three starts.
All right, that is the 5 at 5. We've had our turn. You have yours. Are you satisfied with Roquan Smith's comments about his contract impasse, and how do you feel about Ryan Pace's statement? He had a sentence he released. Theo Epstein sounded optimistic about Chris Bryant. Joe Maddon said he doubted he'd ever be 100%. Who do you believe? Has daily pennant race pressure and scrutiny changed Jose Quintana? Is that what it is? Did Ben Zobrist deserve to be thrown out on Tuesday? And where do you stand on an automated strike zone? Is today a must-win or a statement game for the Cubs? And can the Brewers get back in the division race? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.